A software whiz has proclaimed himself a hero, quit the CIA and the NSA, gone to Hong Kong after disclosing the U.S. surveillance of internet and cell phone communications by the National Security Administration, the NSA. Edward Snowden says he is saving the United States from itself, saving the world from the United States. Here he is in his own words.
Even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded. And the storage capability of these systems increases every year consistently by orders of magnitude to where it's getting to the point you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call. And then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made, every friend you've ever discussed something with, and attack you on that basis to sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer.
Mr. Snowden is a former technical assistant, a subcontractor for the NSA-CIA programs. He conducted this 12-minute video interview with The Guardian, the news organization that broke the surveillance story. Snowden was employed by, we don't know his employment status after all this, though, Booz Allen Hamilton, a consulting firm and defense contractor which sells technology and manpower to mostly the NSA and other federal agencies. Snowden is 29 years old. He maintains that he had a duty to relay all this information to the public. He calls himself a whistleblower, but the federal government is probably more likely to call him an accused felon, a traitor, and an international fugitive.
You can't come forward against the world's most powerful intelligence agencies and be completely free from risk because they're such powerful adversaries that no one can meaningfully oppose them. If they want to get you, they'll get you in time. But at the same time, you have to make a determination about what it is that's important to you. And if living unfreely but comfortably is something you're willing to accept, and I think many of us are, it's the human nature. If you realize that that's the world that you helped create, and it's going to get worse with the next generation and the next generation who extend the capabilities of this sort of architecture of oppression, you realize that you might be willing to accept any risk.
The apocalyptic thoughts there of Edward Snowden, who is a whistleblower in this surveillance case. Evan Osnos joins us now, China correspondent for The New Yorker. He's in Beijing, China. We mentioned Mr. Snowden is in Hong Kong. Evan, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
What do you make of the fact that Snowden is in Hong Kong? Why would you go there? Would Hong Kong actually be a place of refuge for someone like this?
Well, I got to tell you, it is a very unusual situation. Most of the time when those of us who live and work in this part of the world are dealing with cases of, in effect, a defector, usually it's people going in the other direction. Hong Kong is, let's remember, it's a special autonomous region of the People's Republic of China, which means basically that it has control over its own internal affairs. And then the Beijing government is responsible for things like foreign affairs, national security, and intelligence. So Hong Kong has an extradition treaty with the United States. It's been in place for 15 years, and every year they do send people abroad from Hong Kong who have been requested by law enforcement agencies to be sent back to their home country. So there's a precedent for people leaving. So in some ways, he has chosen a fairly risky place to go.
And we must presume that Edward Snowden understands that the kinds of things he did to the U.S. government would be perceived as equally a threat to the Chinese government, which has, you know, no tolerance for messing around on the internet and disclosing state secrets.
Yeah, he says that he's gone to Hong Kong because of what I think he rightly describes as the city's commitment to free speech and the right of political dissent. The challenge, of course, the hard thing now is that the Chinese government can choose the role it wants to play in this case. I mean, you know, if it does nothing, then presumably he'll be subject to an ordinary extradition process, which can actually take several months or longer, in fact, if his lawyers put up resistance. But if Beijing decides to step in and say, we consider this an issue of national security, we also, frankly, don't want to screw up the relationship with the United States. They, you know, President Xi Jinping in Beijing just finished a very intense summit with Obama, in which one of the major topics was cybersecurity, and they're trying to come up with a new arrangement in which both sides feel that they're being listened to and that their interests are being honored. So if Beijing intervenes, in a sense, to shelter Edward Snowden, what they're signaling to the Obama administration is an affirmative gesture, in effect, to try to reject an American government effort to recover one of its own citizens who it considers to have violated the law. So that's the challenge that Edward Snowden's facing. He's not just facing an ordinary extradition law with the United States. He's also confronting the fact that the Chinese government may have a diplomatic incentive to want to cooperate with the United States.
We're talking with Evan Osnos, China correspondent for The New Yorker. You know, Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers a generation ago, described Snowden as a hero, described the United States as the United Stasi, referring to the East German surveillance during the Cold War. He also described Snowden as something of a hero. Is that a widely held view in China or Hong Kong?
I think people over here, frankly, are a little baffled by this case. I mean, even with a lot of the sentiment in China these days, which can be sometimes kind of suspicious of the United States, people still basically think of America as a country that has a very firm rule of law. They think of it as the place that their dissidents go for refuge. So the idea of the tables being turned is still hard for people to process. I mean, it's one of the interesting things that jumps out at me is that when you look at the way that Edward Snowden talks about China and talks about Hong Kong, really, because he is talking about Hong Kong, which occupies this slightly different status. One of the things he says is that I don't want to live in a country in which the government can readily have access to your phone, to your email, to your passwords, your phone records. And when I read that, I thought, actually, the truth is that that is exactly the way it is here in the mainland, here in China. I mean, you live with the reasonable expectation that the government has full access to your electronic communications at all times. And in fact, not just the government. I mean, there are corporate investigators who have the ability, as one of them told me over lunch not long ago, very casually, he said, if you want, I can get you a record of every text message you've sent over the last 8 years. So I don't think that China is necessarily a natural place to go for defending digital privacy.
How convenient living there in China. Evan Osnos, China correspondent for The New Yorker. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.